All right. I need some bold people this morning. If you can do 22 push-ups, I want you to raise your hand. All right, come on up. Come on up. 22 push-ups. If you can do 22 push-ups, come on up. 22. Come on up. Come on. Come on. We need some bold people here. Just three people? Girl push-ups are push-ups. What's that? Modified push-ups, not girl push-ups. Modified push-ups. We got three. Any more? Is that all? Packs. Awesome. Anyone? Come on, Sam. As you all know, this weekend is Memorial Day weekend. And for those of you who have served the armed forces, we're thankful for you. It is unfortunate that this day and age that we lose more folks in the armed services through suicide than any other way. In fact, it's up to 22 a day. A day. And so today, I want to pray for our servicemen and women, especially those that are contemplating suicide, with 22 push-ups. And that each one of these push-ups would be a prayer. And for the who, there's someone here that's served the armed forces here. If you've served the armed forces, would you raise your hand? Would you stand, please? What was your name again? I'm sorry.
Jerry.
Jerry, after we do those push-ups, would you pray for our armed forces this morning? All right. Let's do 22 push-ups for our service men and women. Okay. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. 22. Ooh, yeah. Jerry, would you pray? Jerry, would you pray for us this morning? Pray for our servicemen and women.
Lord, we thank you that we can come before you, that you hear our prayers, that you know the hearts and minds of all those, especially those who are serving our country today. I pray, Lord, that you would touch the hearts of those that are contemplating suicide. I pray that you would bring someone alongside each one of those people, that someone can share who you are, to give them hope, to let them know that this is only temporary, to help them see that they can trust in you and you will carry them through this time to a place that they will be able to have joy and peace again, Lord. Go with all of these people, go with those that are coming alongside, go with all of our servicemen and women who are scattered all over this world, making it possible that we can come here today and worship you, making it possible that we can declare openly that we are Christians and that we serve a risen Lord. Just help them all, Lord. And there are many that are in harm's way today, that you would give them peace this morning, that they would be able to know that you were there to protect them and to take care of them, and help them to truly understand that this time on earth is just a vapor compared to the eternity that they will spend with you. Just thank you, Lord, for that promise. And we ask these things in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you all that are willing to do push-ups, modified or otherwise. I have had to pray a lot this week. In fact, there's been a prayer that I've been leaning into by one of my favorite authors and ministers. His name is Francis McNutt. It's almost a prayer that I've needed before going on social media and after I turn off social media. One for protection and one for cleansing. I don't know if there's been a day in our age that we have been bombarded by news so quickly and so often. And so God bless you all who are willing to shut off technology for a while. But even if you shut it off, there are still things happening in our world that are overwhelming. And it's overwhelming to me as well, unless I lean into Jesus in a way where I'm able to both seek protection and seek cleansing, welcoming Jesus into all of life. We all battle discouragement. We face headlines of shootings, of deportation, immigrants getting separated from their babies. I'm seeing moms hold their babies this morning. I can't imagine what that's like, no matter what situation you're in, political party, whatever you're coming from. These are the things that do burden our hearts because they burden the heart of God. And so it's not that we're supposed to shove them off as if to sort of forget or just get by, but so many of us have to just kind of settle them down in order to get through the day. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. And there is evil in this world. We have an enemy, spiritual. There are spiritual forces at work. The devil goes around like an animal trying to devour us. And this is one of the ways, overwhelming us with the sin of the world, bringing it up in such a way that we just get so overwhelmed that we shut off, shut down, get hopeless, or get so mad that we can't engage with humanity. I want to tell you all that as I get discouraged, there's one thing that encourages me. Besides going to prayer and Jesus, my family, this place, you people encourage me. Because you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And where the Holy Spirit dwells, our holy God dwells. Where the Holy Spirit dwells, that place is holy. And I get to come here with you no matter what's going on in your life. I know that Jesus is welcomed into it. And that changes everything. My hope today is that you remember one thing. That what you have inside of you, that gift of the Holy Spirit, that gift that God has given you, is good and needed and worthy to be given away in this day and age. What God has given you needs to be given away. Because there's too much going on to discourage us. There's too much going on. The promise of the Holy Spirit, what really encourages me is what is in you. In fact, the scripture speaks to this. This is 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all of God's promises, God's goodness, his kingdom, his movement, his everything, all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ. With the resounding yes! And through Christ our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. It is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He has commanded us and he has identified us as his own. How? How do I know that you are his own? That I am his own, that this world, no matter how terrible it is, that he's still at work because he has his people at work. How do I know that? By placing the Holy Spirit into our hearts as the first installment, get this, as the first guarantee, as the first, remember this, that guarantees everything that he has promised us. Now, what has he promised us? He's promised us that one day he will put sin to rest. He will put evil to rest. There will be no more suffering, no more shame, no more crying, no more tears. One day Jesus comes back and it all gets cleared away. Every single move of the enemy gets cleared away. Right now we live in parallel lines where the work of Jesus has come inaugurated. But the work of the enemy is still at work. And one day Jesus comes back and destroys the work of the enemy. And the only line that gets to work in our world is Jesus. Now, until then, the only guarantee, the only installment, the only hope that I get of this day is in you. It's in you. It's in you. The Holy Spirit in you encourages me that we're not lost. encourages me that sin will not have its victory. Encourages me that sickness does not get the victory. Encourages me that I still get to have hope. That no matter how many shootings, no matter how much racism, no matter how much deportation, no matter how many people get destroyed and are tortured and whatever, Holy Spirit in you tells me that's not the end. The gift that God has given you is good and worthy and needed to be given away. Paul continues, well, he says in a different letter to the same church, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, things that flow out of our heart because the Holy Spirit is in us. Practices, good deeds, all kinds of things. There are different kinds, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Paul uses later in this chapter the analogy of a body. Saying, hey, you who do something special, you're like an eye in the body. Now, if you were to say as an eye to the hand, hey, hand, you're just a hand. You can't see anything. It'd be stupid. Some of us are so good at doing something. Some of us allow the Holy Spirit to use us in such wonderful ways, in different ways, and we look at other people and say, oh, their gift isn't as special as mine. Or vice versa, we go, oh, I'm not as special as them. Well, raise up your hand for just a moment and just a finger, just a digit. Try itching that finger with that finger. Just go ahead. How's it going? You can't do it. Here's the point of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. We were made to give these gifts away because we cannot give them to ourselves. We cannot give these spiritual gifts to ourselves. They are meant to be given away first in the church and then out into the world. 1 Corinthians 12:8, he keeps going, to the person the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice to another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives faith to another. The same to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives to one person the power to perform miracles. Another, the ability to prophesy. He gives to someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. He continues, still another person's given the ability to speak unknown languages or tongues, while another is given the ability to interpret what's being said. It's the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Each one of you, if you have received Jesus, makes your life amazing. There are some of you who have come today and our acts this morning and the 22 push-ups really spoke to you because you came here suicidal, believing that either you were stuck or that you had nothing to give away. Let me tell you, each one of you, this is the beauty of Jesus, by the way. This is everything. We don't need land, although we serve it well, right? We don't need heritage, although we bless it. Because in Jesus, all of that stuff matters less. In Jesus, the only thing that matters is Him. So no matter where you came from, no matter what your history, everything is fulfilled in Jesus. This is how we began the whole chapter this morning. All of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. We don't need anybody else to do anything else. Not a politician, not a country. We don't need that because Jesus fulfills it all. Now, if that's true, then in Jesus, no matter what else is going on the earth, you are special. You have something to give away. You have the ability to participate with the God of the universe, the one that made the earth in the midst of the cosmos to be this perfect place of habitability for us, that we can breathe and not die. That one that did all that goes to you and says, you're unique. You're special. I give this to you. No matter what else is going on the earth, you have me dwelling in you, and you have something to give away. Your life is not worthless. Your life is worth everything. And so Paul continues, 1 Corinthians 12. He says, so you should earnestly desire these gifts. Ask God. Ask God. Let me show you a way of life that is best of all. And he says, you want these gifts, but if you try to use these gifts in the wrong way, you're going to be a mess. And I have been that mess at times. Paul says, if I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but I didn't have love, if I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. We don't have any cymbals this morning, but they can be really messy. I think that's why we don't have them. If you wanted me on cymbals, that would be, it would not help with worship. It would just be a noisy, clanging mess. Paul continues, if I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, that's pretty amazing. If I had such faith that I could move mountains, superpowers. He's saying, if I was Superman, but I didn't have love, I would be nothing. If I gave everything to the poor, and even if I sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, there's three things that we get. We get gifts, and gifts are awesome. Because gifts make sure that you get to participate in the body as the hand or as a finger helping somebody who's an eye, because eyes get itchy. We get these gifts to help one another and then go out into the world with something of worth to give into a world of sorrow. Gifts are awesome. But that's not the only thing that we get with the Holy Spirit. We also get mission. If you want purpose in your life, you want the Holy Spirit. Because the other thing the Holy Spirit does is it sends us out on mission. It gives us purpose. When we receive the Holy Spirit, our life is not our own. We get to be part of, again, that cosmic work that brought the earth into motion and beings, breath and thought, all of that. We get invited into that whole plan to be part of God's movement. We have purpose then. We have mission. But that's not the only thing. We also get character. The scripture calls it fruit. And I love the fruit of the Spirit. Let me tell you why. One, because it makes a great kid's song. Gotta have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Come on! You gotta have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. One more time. You gotta have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Let's just round it out. Here we go. You gotta have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Harmony. Troll. I didn't hear any harmony. That's okay. Thanks, Eva. Eva went for it. We need the Holy Spirit. And it, for me, the fruit of the Spirit gives me awesome discernment power. Because if somebody says, I'm a follower of God, and they have no love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, say, okay, you may think that you're voting for God, but actually, you don't have God in you. Now, this doesn't mean that we can't have bad days. My wife will tell you, sometimes I don't have love, joy, peace, patience. But this gift of the Holy Spirit endows us with this kind of supernatural character that goes beyond having a bad day. And it sets us apart in the whole universe as the ones who set the tone for what the earth should be like. What God has put in you is worth giving away. What God has put in you is worth giving away. The mess of the news and the evil that's happening in this country and all over the world is not worth giving away. It's worth being put away. But what God has put in you is worth giving away. And we need it more than ever. Anyone who receives the Holy Spirit is given gifts and fruit and mission to serve the world. And so later in 1 Peter, the scripture tells us this powerful, powerful verse, chapter 4, verse 7. It says, the end of the world is coming. Now, 2,000 years ago, they believed the end of the world is coming, and we are living in the last days, if anybody defines it in any other way. It's not because there's too much evil. In fact, there's less war than there was 2,000 years ago now, believe it or not. Less crime than there was. We're getting better. But the end of the world is coming near. We are in the last days. And so the scripture tells us, therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those in need, or a meal, or a place to stay. God has given you each a gift. From his great variety of spiritual gifts, use them well to serve one another. Use them well. If you've ever been to a swamp, then you've seen someone filled with the Spirit and not sharing it with anybody. If you let water flow into your life, but you don't let it flow out, you're a swamp. The Holy Spirit and what God has given you in the Holy Spirit is worth giving away. So give it away. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power and for to him forever and ever. Amen. Now, friends, here's where I get it really wrong. And here's where God's convicted me. And here's where the sermon came from today. All the time. All the time, there's not a day where I'm not in front of somebody who's at the cash register or on the bus or wherever I am where I know God wants me to share what I have. And I get stage fright. There was a moment just over the last months where I just about had a breakdown telling God, what do you like doing this, putting me in front of people? Me? Are you kidding? The weakest, quietest, ugliest. I just kept on going with him. And I just had a meltdown in front of him. I said, are you sure? You really like this? I just yelled at him. It was nice. It was nice to get it out. He brought me back. But I'm not sure that there aren't some of you that feel the same way, that you get in front of somebody, and instead of letting the Holy Spirit give away what he's given to you, you get stage fright. And half of us don't know why. I'll tell you one reason. I guarantee there's at least one reason why we get stage fright. And it is spiritual warfare. Amen. There is the God of the universe that wants his character and gifts and mission to be shared with the world. And there is an enemy that says, nah. So let me tell you, every moment we get stage fright in front of people, part of that, not all of it, but part of that is the work of the enemy. We were meant, we were given gifts, we have been endowed with what is meant to be given away. And so if it's not being given away, so let me tell you, evangelism is acting in the confidence that the Holy Spirit in us is worth sharing. That's what evangelism is. That's the good news. Hey, you didn't think you had worth? Hey, you didn't think you have what it takes to live this life? Hey, you don't think you have anything to give away? Let me tell you, I'm acting in the confidence, not my own, but the confidence of the power of the Holy Spirit in my life to tell you, he loves me, he loves you, and what he's given to me is worth giving away. Do not let the enemy steal that truth from your life. What he's given to you is worth giving away. We were meant to be sent out. We were meant to be missionaries in this country. We were meant to be missionaries in our neighborhoods. We were meant to be missionaries to our families. We were meant to testify to one another in the church, itching each other's eye for us, getting the crumb out. We were meant to do this. In fact, the Holy Spirit was given so that we could be sent. This is Acts 1:6. When the apostles came together with Jesus, they put this question to him. They said, "Master, is this the time when you're going to put evil to bed? Is this the time when you're going to restore the kingdom?" And Jesus says, "It's not your business to know times and dates. The Father has placed all of that under his own direct authority." And so get this, he juxtaposes these two things now. God, is evil going to end? When are you going to stop suffering? Jesus, when are you going to come back so that people don't get cancer anymore? Jesus, when are you going to come back so that people don't get murdered anymore? If we ask that question the same as the disciples, let me tell you, your hardest questions for God have already been asked. And one of them is right here. When are you going to restore order to this mess? And Jesus says, God's got it. God's got it. But, and this is, if we watch this very carefully, this is very odd. Jesus wouldn't say, God's got it. End of conversation. He says something else. What will happen, though, is that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and the very ends of the earth. Do you hear what's going on here? God's going to take care of injustice. God's going to take care of evil. But you will be filled with the Spirit to change things around here. You will be filled with the Spirit, and we saw before, as an inauguration of the kingdom that you hope for. You will be filled with the Spirit so that that which you hope for in the future comes right now. You will be my witnesses that the hope of better life for this earth is coming. You and your activity in the power of the Holy Spirit will change the lives of people around you. You will bring peace. You, the good news of Jesus, the kingdom of God, living inside the journey and movement of our lives when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, articulating and acting on the kingdom of God. And so I want to ask this morning for some bold, bold people. Because I want to say selfishly, I need you. I need the encouragement that in your workplace, you're not holding back. I need the encouragement that in your school that you work in, that you're not holding back with the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. I need the encouragement that out in the world and on the streets, that even if there are immigrants being taken away from their babies, even if there are still shootings happening all the time, even if we feel more dangerous than ever, that you are out and about doing the works of the kingdom, being witnesses to the earth. I need you there. I need you there. Because otherwise, I'm going to forget the down payment that Jesus gave. The Holy Spirit in you reminds me, the scripture says, that this isn't over yet. And so in Isaiah, there's this powerful verse. When Isaiah is sent, and it's been used all over the world for sending, the Lord asks, "Whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Whom will go for us?" And Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me. Would you be bold in this room to stand this morning if that's you? If you are willing to be that person filled with the Holy Spirit to give away what he's given to you, would you stand this morning? Here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. And there are some of you that are saying, Jesus, I don't have the faith for this. Raise your hand if you're the one that says, but help my faith. But give me faith for this. Come, Holy Spirit. These hands are raised and these people are standing because they want you to use them in this world of chaos to bring your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They want you to fill them and send them and give them gifts. And so come. Give them who you are, God. And send them. We're going to go into a time of worship now, and the communion tables will be opened up. Prayer teams will be available to you. There are some of you who have not made a decision to follow Jesus, and today's the day. I want to offer you that opportunity with the prayer that's on the screen this morning. That we would all say together, because there are some of you here who didn't realize that this faith thing that would empower you to make the world better. You thought that it was just going to be a chain around your neck, some legalism. No, this is empowerment for the best life. And if you want it, God wants to give it to you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. And just take a few minutes. Just clear the air. Clear everything between you and God. Let him be Lord this morning. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If that was you this morning, if you would see a prayer team this morning. Otherwise, I welcome you to these tables given to us by Jesus himself, signifying his body and blood for us to receive, to welcome Jesus into all of life. Would you come and receive?